The first methodology that the Quran uses is to talk to the emotional side of the human being.
يا أيها الذين آمنوا, O you who believe, استعينوا بالصبر والصلاة.
And we have set forth for mankind in this Quran full of examples.
Minbar, a lecture on Islamic issues.
Islam is a way of life, a complete way. It's a complete way.
Dear listeners of IRIB English Radio, now let's listen to Brother Hasnain Rajab Ali.
I begin in Allah's name, the Beneficent, the Merciful, and all praise belongs to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala for giving us this life, though we don't deserve to exist, for endowing us with too many graces and gifts by which you and I will never be able to understand nor to appreciate. But the mere fact that we recognize some of these mercies that Allah has given us, ظاهرةً وباطنة, as Allah says, that which you can see and that which you cannot see is sufficient enough for you and I to submit and to feel satisfied that there is a maker who has put us on this earth for a purpose and a function. It's very important for us to understand that God the Almighty considers us worthy to represent Him, and He has made us secondary, tertiary levels of khulafa, meaning we are leaders on earth. But our condition is that you and I need to promote good and forbid evil. For that is the main goal. And if you and I don't do that, which means that if you and I do not promote good and forbid evil, then that lack of such goodness starts to permeate our own psyche and it starts to become self-destructive. And you'll find people who indulge in illicit misbehavior or those who have, for example, mental health issues that teeters on this kind of misbehavior. Particularly if you look at it with depression, when you look at it, for example, with people who are at the levels of being suicidal, or even on a day-to-day basis of people who are disruptive and sinners. Although I don't like to lump all these people in the same batch, I'm just giving the consequences of individuals who may have lived a life of not recognizing the grace of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Some, as you know, are congenital, some mental health issues, some forms of depression are not self-imposed. It could be environmental. And there are people on earth who are victims of abuse, who end up becoming very negative in life, not because they want to be negative, but the environment is so negative that they end up becoming victims of this horrible onslaught that makes them actually technically mustad'afin. Mustad'af are people who are oppressed, or as we say, the ones who have been denied their natural growth and grace. So tonight, we need to recognize that when Imam Hussein alayhi salam is going to Karbala in order to promote good and forbid evil, you know, ta'muruna bil ma'ruf wa tanhauna 'anil munkar. This is the command of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, that promote good and forbid evil. Every human being in the world knows that we should be doing that. What makes us wrong is when we define good and evil in the wrong ways. So you'll find evildoers will swear that they're doing good, you see? And the evildoers will swear that the good doers are doing evil. And then on the opposite side are the real good doers who will swear that the evildoers are evil. How do we know which one is right? We have to apply the standards of Allah, the Messenger, the Quran, the Ahlul Bayt, as the only means by which to understand what is good and what is evil. There is no other way for you and I to validate, because everything after that becomes conjectural talk. And once you embark on conjectural talk, conjecture starts to take on its own assumptions, which then takes on its own conclusions, which then ultimately becomes destructive, only for us to find out the destruction was actually too late, because now we've gone through this bad practice. And today we are suffering for what we call the challenges of the day. Some of it is natural. For example, you may have a weather pattern that causes a drought. And people, due to the natural forces of the weather patterns, that we end up suffering. Maybe there's a cold that comes, maybe because a meteor landed on Earth and caused the Earth's temperature to drop to a level where the body could not sustain. And we all suffered through it. And sometimes an entire nation became extinct because of that. That's one kind of a problem, but that's rare. If you look at the advancement of the human race today, that is rare. We have capabilities and capacities today to measure, okay, tsunamis that may appear, to measure on the Richter scale the earthquakes that may come. And that ability enables us to find ways by which to go against it. We can build homes today that resist earthquakes. We can build homes on high levels to resist and to protect ourselves from floods, for example. But you find the world today is suffering primarily from humankind causing their own harm. Allah says, ظَهَرَ الْفَسَادُ فِي الْبَرِّ وَالْبَحْرِ بِمَا كَسَبَتْ أَيْدِيَ النَّاسِ. ظَهَرَ الْفَسَادُ فِي الْبَرِّ وَالْبَحْرِ. What is it? Fasad. What is fasad? Trouble. Problems. People committing sins has appeared on land and on the seas. By what? بِمَا كَسَبَتْ أَيْدِيَ النَّاسِ. By what mankind has brought forth. Allah says, إِنَّ اللَّهَ لَا يَظْلِمَ النَّاسَ شَيْئًا وَلَكِنَّ النَّاسَ أَنفُسَهُمْ يَظْلِمُونَ. Allah does not do injustice to mankind, even an iota. Rather, it's human beings who do dhulam on themselves, who do injustice upon themselves. Where does this injustice come from? When we misplace our values, when we misplace God, when we misplace the litmus test that Allah has given us, when we misplace the Prophet as the means for us to see life through, for Allah says, لَقَدْ كَانَ لَكُمْ فِي رَسُولِ اللَّهِ أُسْوَةٌ حَسَنَةٌ. Indeed, your Prophet is your best role model, because if you look through him, and you look therefore through the Quran, which is the extension of the Quran in the physical, and you look through the Ahlul Bayt, then you will know what is right and you will know what is wrong. And the minute we know that, then doing wrong will become very difficult. For example, murder is a wrong thing. If you ask the majority of the human race, you say, here's a knife, go kill this person. They'll say, no. Well, why not? You just, you know, move your hand and stab a person. It's not difficult. Here's a gun, just pull the trigger. It's just, you know, it's very easy. Say, no, I'm not going to do this. Don't even aim the gun at a person. Why not? You can do it. No, I won't do it, and I will resist it. Why are you resisting? Well, because I know its ugliness. I know it's so evil. I know the consequences of murder. I know the consequences of death, for I cannot return a person who's died. I cannot, what we say, fix the injury that I may cause, that may be even death. So I don't want to do it. So notice, the minute you and I know what is evil, and we know it with clarity, we will avoid it. For example, drugs. Drug abuse, many a times, happens because people are angry. There was a girl who was asked that question, that do you do drugs? She answered beautifully. She said, I haven't gotten angry enough yet to start. That's profound, that when a human being is asked the question, do you indulge in drugs? Do you take some kind of a hallucinogenic substance by which to feel good? And the person says, no, I have no reason to. But a lot of people are doing it. It's become very vogue, especially if you go to clubs. They're all available in vials, in tablet forms, in liquid forms, whichever one you like. It's so easy. And the person says, and what am I going to get? Oh, you're going to get this incredible high. It's going to be so euphoric that you've never gotten that feeling before. The individual who does not think of the consequences will say, okay, give it to me. But usually the one who says, give it to me, is also saying, I've got a lot of problems. My tension levels are very high, and I need you to take this away from me. I don't know how to do this. I don't know how to fix myself. So give me something that gives me this illusion of having fixed it. But the wiser person says, but then what will happen to this euphoric feeling? Well, after a few minutes, after a few hours, it's going to fade away. And then what? Oh, well, then you're going to need some more. How much more? Well, a lot more. To such a degree that you'll be stuck on the street someday, overdosing and dead. Really? Today, if you look at just, you know, fentanyl, you're talking about the most, one of the deadliest drugs on earth. And it's produced in the laboratories. Why does it even have a market? It's because mankind has rejected this litmus means and method by which to achieve tranquility and success, and is trying to take the shortcuts, thinking that if I can just indulge in the worldly matters the way the world is doing its foolishness, and I can continue to perpetuate that level of fun, what we call temporal fun, temporary fun, and then when I have a stress, I'll just go into the bar, get drunk a little bit. And if I have financial problems, I'll go to a casino hoping to triple my money or rob someone or cheat someone, borrow and then don't return, get amnesia. Or if I have a problem, I'll just pop a couple of pills and get all my pain to go away. And sadly, this misbehavior has even penetrated the professional world, where pharmacists and especially physicians are dispensing these kinds of unfortunate drugs at an alarming rate, because they're like Machiavellian thinking, who cares if this person dies as long as my bank account is getting bigger. And what's happening around us is we're losing our young generations, statistically, sometimes 6-7 in a week dying because of overdose, to such a degree that sometimes even these statistics are hidden because it's so apparent. And the question, rather than us saying, well, what can we do to put them in rehab? For rehab centers now are flourishing all across the country and the world. And rehab centers cost thousands of dollars a day, only like babysitters stopping you from taking more drugs. But you're not solving the problem. Because to get out of this addiction is a chemical dependency, where this person's physicality now has become chemically dependent on it. And if you don't give them something to counter that, they will die. So how do you make them alive? How do you keep them alive? Rather than you and I speaking at the level to say, what can we as a society do to prevent any human being from approaching these kinds of misdeeds, is really where the conversation should be.
You're listening to Voice of the Islamic Republic of Iran. This program entitled Minbar. Our email address is englishradio@irib.ir.
Rahi Karimun Adi Alimun Hali Hakimun Mati. محمد يا مؤمنين صلوا عليه.